This is Getting to Know Your Bible, a program dedicated to the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ. Here's Billy Lambert.
It is a pleasure to be with you today on Getting to Know Your Bible, and we certainly appreciate those of you that are watching right now. We hope that you're going to stay tuned today. We're going to be discussing a subject that I think touches everyone's life at some point or another. And so today our topic is overcoming depression. And we're going to be studying a character from the Bible who was in a depressed state, but he was able to overcome it. We want to look at some of the things that he did in overcoming such a malady. Now, today on Getting to Know Your Bible, we continue to offer a free Bible correspondence course. Let me emphasize, I don't know whether I can overemphasize that it is free. So many people think, well, you're going to charge me for it, but no, this is absolutely free. And we want to pause long enough so that you can learn some more about the course, and then you can find out how you can take it. Now, you can also take it, you can take it through mail, but you can also take it online. But let's pause for a moment so you can learn more about the course.
To help you in your study of the Bible, we want to send you this Bible correspondence course. This course is non-denominational. It's based on the Bible. It's conducted by mail, and it's free. To receive this course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580. Or call toll-free 1-877-711-5214.
I'm reading now from 1 Kings, the 19th chapter, verse 1 through verse 4. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. And then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and saith, It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And he lay and slept under a juniper tree. And behold, an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. That's reading actually through verse number 5. I want us to look at those few little verses for just a minute so that we can get the grasp of what's going on here in 1 Kings chapter 19. And Elijah had just slain prophets of Baal, hundreds of them. He did it with a sword. And so it says that when Ahab, who was the king, learned that he had killed all of these prophets, Ahab said to his wife, and his wife's name was Jezebel, and she told him what he had done. So you see, Jezebel then sent a messenger to Elijah, and she said, I want you to know, by tomorrow, you're going to be dead. In other words, I'm going to take your life for killing all of these prophets of Baal. You see, she served the god of Baal. And when he saw that, he says that he arose and he went for his life. He was running away from Jezebel. He was running for his life. And then he went a day's journey into the wilderness, and he came and sat down under a juniper tree. And a lot of you right now may be under your juniper tree. You may be in a state where you're running away from something. And it may be that you're in the same emotional state as we find Elijah at this time. So he sat down under the juniper tree, and this is what he said to the Lord, "It is enough." Have you ever been there when you said, "Lord, I think it's just enough. I've had it. I've had it." I have an idea there's some mother that has a lot of small children, and she says, "You're preaching to me, Brother Lambert, because there are days that I just feel like I've just had it. I can't go on." Or maybe you're having a tough time on the job. You say, "I've had it. I just can't go on." Or maybe you're so addicted to certain substance. It might be some drug. It might actually be alcohol. It could even be nicotine. You're so addicted that you've done all that you can within your power and your strength to break that, but you're just not able to do it, and you just feel like, "I've just had it. I've just had enough." And so he said, "Lord, it is enough." And then he said, "Oh, Lord, take away my life." He was ready to die. He said, "I'm not any better than my fathers." And then we're told down in verse 5 that he lay down and he went to sleep under that juniper tree. And then that's when an angel appeared to him and told him to arise and to eat. You see, the problem with Elijah is the same problem that many of us have. He was depressed. We want to talk for just a few minutes about how to overcome depression. And we're going to be looking a little deeper into the life of Elijah as to how he was able to overcome it. There was a mother with a degree in social work who said, "I've been so depressed for 6 or 7 months, I can hardly get out of bed." You say, "That's me, Brother Lambert. I've known of people that are so depressed they just want to stay in the bed all the time." And then she went on to say, "Life's not worth living anymore." She's like Elijah. "I've had enough. Take away my life." And then she said, "I feel like I'm failing in every way as a wife, as a mother, and as a human being." You see, this woman was terribly depressed. I think that all of us should admit, at least, that at some point in our lives, we've experienced depression to some extent. May not have been a deep depression, but we have experienced that feeling of, "I've just had it. I just don't know what else to do." It was Churchill who referred to depression as the black dog, and Lucy Freeman called it the silent scream. According to the National Institute of Mental Health, 1 out of 5 Americans at some point in his or her life will experience depression. And they also said that 1 in 200 of those that are depressed are going to attempt suicide or end in suicide. I know that there is a better way. If that's where you are today, I hope that you will understand there is a better way. I was talking to a sweet Christian woman the other day, and she became a Christian, I suppose it was been 30, 35 years ago. She had listened to me preaching on television, and she heard me talking about depression on that occasion and that there's a better way. I was talking to her just a few days ago, and I told her that I said, "I remember the first time that I ever talked to you on the telephone. And you had been watching the television program, and I remember the sermon that I preached." And I said, "I preached on depression." She said, "You saved my life that night, because I was just about ready to take my own life. I had no idea." There's a better way. There was a Kansas City housewife who said, I have no desire to do anything. I don't want to eat. And then I get to the point that I don't want to live. That's where Elijah was. He said, I don't want to go on. I don't want to live any longer. Now let's stop right here and let's think about two things that need to be avoided. The first thing that we need to avoid when we're dealing with depression are home remedies. Home remedies that don't work. You can get all kinds of advice. I was speaking somewhere recently, and I made mention of the fact that I experienced back problems at times. You would be shocked at all of the advice I got about how to deal with back problems. Home remedies. Deliver me from home remedies. The second thing to avoid is oversimplification. Someone says, well, if you'd just give your life to Christ, if you would become a New Testament Christian by believing on Jesus and repenting of your sins and confessing your faith in Christ by being baptized and allowing the Lord to add you to His church, well, then you wouldn't have a problem with depression. That's oversimplifying it. You see, Christians can have problems too. Christians can become depressed as well. Listen to Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, just verse 8. Just a few little words here. We are troubled on every side. You say, that's the way I feel today. That's the reason I am depressed, Brother Lambert. I've got trouble on every side. But you see, with Elijah, we can overcome that feeling of depression. And so sometimes we get sick. Sometimes we have losses in our lives. All kinds of things that can bring it on. Sometimes we fail in something we're trying to do. Maybe you're a college student and you took a test and you didn't do very well on that test and you're depressed about it. Well, you know what you need to do is study harder and then go back in the next time you have a test and do a little better. See, there's a way to overcome depression. The fact of the matter is we need to realize that because we're depressed does not mean that we are lacking spiritually. Because some of God's greatest and choicest servants suffered from depression. I think about David when he was running away from Saul. You know, David was hated by Saul. Saul envied David, and he tried to take David's life. Why? Because the people were singing this song, Saul has slain his thousands, but David has slain his tens of thousands. And that so angered Saul that he wanted to take the life of young David. And in the 142nd Psalm, we find him hiding in a cave. And he said, no man cared for my soul. Is that the way you feel today, that no one cares for me? No one cares for you? Well, you see, David, a great man, a man who's referred to as being after God's own heart, suffered from depression. Then I think about Jeremiah. He was a great prophet of God. He was a man who had a backbone as big as a saw log. He was a man who could stand up against evil, but he became depressed. In Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 14, he said, cursed be the day wherein I was born. Earlier in verse 9, he had said, I'm just going to stop preaching the Word of God. He didn't put it exactly, that's not the way the Scripture reads, but that's what he meant. I'm going to get out of preaching. I'm going to stop preaching. But he said, the Word of God is like a fire in my bones, so he could not stop preaching or prophesying and being a prophet for God. See, a prophet's were not just foretellers, they were forthtellers as well. But he got depressed. Think about Job in Job chapter 7 and verse number 3. You see, Job had lost it all. He lost his family, that is his children. His wife even said to him, curse God and die. His friends came to him trying to comfort him. And the attitude some of them has was this, Job, you must have done something terribly wrong or else you wouldn't be suffering like this. Wrong. And Job said in Job chapter 7 and verse number 3, wearisome nights are appointed unto me. You talk about a man that was depressed. Here he was on an ash heap with sores all over his body. He was depressed. Think about Moses and the responsibility he had to lead the people of God out of the land of Egypt. In Numbers chapter 11 and verse 11, he said, you lay the burden of all of these people upon me. It just seems to me that Moses was a little down and out when he said that. But I think the classic example of the poor me, look what has happened to me, is an example of Elijah in 1 Kings, the 19th chapter. Now, it wasn't long until Elijah was up and he was going again. So the question I want to raise is, how did he do it? How did he overcome his depression? See, Elijah was one of God's faithful servants, and he had just won this victory over the prophets of Baal. He seemed almost invincible at that point. But then after he learned that Jezebel was trying to take his life, he became, all I can say is he ran out into the wilderness. He sat down under a juniper tree. He was physically and emotionally drained, and he became depressed. And he told the Lord, said, I want you to just take away my life. But guess what? Elijah was soon back up on the job for God, doing God's bidding. Question, how did he overcome his depression? And so there are four things we want to notice about the depression of Elijah. First of all, he was to stay physically fit. He was told to arise and to eat. He said he lay down and slept. He needed rest and he needed food. And see, he arose and ate after he had this needed rest. Very often, not all the time, but very often, depression is due to our physical and our emotional condition. It may be that you feel physically exhausted. It may be that you feel emotionally exhausted. Well, that's where Elijah was, and what did he need? Well, he needed to take better care of himself. He needed food and he needed rest. You see, good physical health can contribute to good emotional and spiritual health. I think there are three things that we ought to do and do them right. Number one, eat right. So many people don't eat right. Sometimes people undereat, sometimes people overeat, sometimes people eat things that are not really that good for them. But we need to have a good, healthy diet. Secondly, you need to get the proper amount of rest. You see, God wants us to take rest for our bodies. Third, get some exercise. And I practice what I'm preaching to you today. Now, the second thing that it happened to Elijah to overcome his depression was God allowed him to talk out his frustration. Picture it now. Here he is hiding in a cave. He's isolated himself, and I have observed over the years that many people, when in a state of depression, isolate themselves. But God asked him this question in verse 9, what are you doing here? What in the world are you doing here? And that's when Elijah, in verse number 10, began to pour out his heart to God, expressed his frustration. Elijah poured out his heart, and this is what he said. I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with a sword. And listen to him now, poor, poor Elijah. I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. You know what God was allowing him to do? He was allowing him to talk it out. Sometimes a method that a counselor might use is the catharsis method. And that simply means you purge your system, you get it out, you talk it out. And so you may be asked questions by your counselor, and then he gets you talking, and you talk about your frustration. So he let him talk it out. The third thing that was helpful to Elijah is he got a fresh view of God. Now, here he is licking his wounds. And he is so depressed, he said, "I'm the only one left, Lord." But now here's the key to depression. He felt alone. He felt alone. No one understood him. No one appreciated him. But the fact is, in verse 8, we learn that he was not alone. God said, "I have left 7,000 in Israel that have not bowed the knee to Baal." So Elijah was not alone. When you think no one cares, when you've lost sight of the power and the presence of God, you need to get a fresh view of God. Let me give you this view of God. "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." That's found in your Bible in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. God said, "I don't care what happens in your life, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." One of my favorite passages in the Old Testament is Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." You see, we need to sometimes just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. That's what the children of Israel were told when they were about to cross the Red Sea coming out of Egypt. We just need to be still, and we need to wait on the Lord. I think that suggests patience. I think that suggests recognizing the power and the might of God when we wait on the Lord. Just be still and know the Lord. And we need to spend a lot more time with Him. We need to pray. Jesus said men ought always to pray and not to faint. Spend a lot more of your time in prayer. Get in a room somewhere by yourself and pray. You say, "Well, I'm driving down the road. I'm listening to this on the radio. Or I just watched you on television. I'm driving my car to work." Pray. I don't know the time it's better to pray than when you're out in all the traffic today. Pray. You say, "Well, I'm washing dishes right now." Thank God for dirty dishes. Pray. There is no unsuitable place for prayer. There is no unsuitable time to pray. So to get this fresh view of God, spend more time in prayer. And then study. Study the Bible. Meditate on His Word day and night. Get a fresh view of God. And the view you ought to have is that God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Now here is the fourth key to Elijah overcoming depression. He got busy. God gave him something to do. While down in verses 15 and 16, he was to anoint Hazael king over Syria. Then he was to anoint Jehu king over Israel. And then he was to anoint Elisha, a prophet, in his place. That is, Elisha was to take his place. You see, it was time for Elijah to get back to work. Depression is almost always related to self-centeredness. There may be some exceptions to that. But almost always it's related to a person thinking only about themselves. Think about what he said, "I'm ready to die. I'm the only one that's left." But Elijah needed to see that there was work for him to do. We need to become active. You may have to force yourself to be active. When I was much younger, for about 10 years, I ran every day. I would exercise. That was the way I exercised. Do it in other ways today because of physical problems with my joints. But I was active. But I remember coming home from work and I would be dead dog tired. And I didn't want to do anything. All I wanted to do was just plop down in a chair somewhere. I'd been so busy that day. I would have to make myself get up and to get on my running shoes and get out in the street and start running. But when I got through, you know what? I felt so much better. Idleness is fertile ground for depression. Stay busy doing something. And there's so many things you can do. There are people who need encouragement. There are people that are living alone that need encouragement. Pick up the telephone and call them. There are people that that are sick, just send them a card, a get well card. There's so many ways that we can help and encourage other people. What I'm trying to say is this: instead of being wrapped all up in yourself, get involved in doing something for someone else. That's exactly what Elijah did. Physical activity helps us to control the mind, and the mind controls what we do with our lives. So Elijah was able to overcome depression. You say, well, right now, Brother Lambert, I'm so depressed. I'm like the woman who said, I don't want to get out of bed. I don't want anything. And I have had thoughts about just ending it all. But I would urge you to take this advice from the Bible, to do what Elijah did to overcome his state of depression. Now, if you're experiencing a deeper depression, I would suggest that you get the attention you need from your physician. But talk to someone about it. Talk to someone that can help you with this. But Elijah gives us a Bible example of what we can do for ourselves. I want to thank you for watching today. Now, one of the greatest things you'll ever do for yourself is to give your life to the Lord. We're talking about getting a fresh view of God. We need also a fresh view of Jesus. Jesus is our Savior. Jesus will help us with any problem we have. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You say, I need some help right now. I feel so burdened down. Well, Jesus is the great burden bearer. Jesus Christ is the healer of the broken heart. Maybe your heart's broken into pieces right now. But there could be any number of things that can cause that. But Jesus can help you. I'd urge you to give your life to Him by believing on Him. John 8:24. By repenting of your sins, turning away from the sin in your life, according to Luke 13:3. And as a penitent believer in Jesus Christ, as a confessing believer in Jesus, just simply do what Jesus said. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16:16. Would you not do that? Jesus will help lift those burdens for you. May God bless you for watching today. And invite you to visit the Church of Christ in your community. And also call for the free Bible course. Do that quickly right now. And until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.
Getting to Know Your Bible has been presented by Churches of Christ. If you have a question about the church, or if you would like the location of a Church of Christ near you, or to receive the free Bible course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580. Or call 1-877-711-5214.